Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello there, and welcome to What Culture Wrestling. Myself, Andrew Pollard. And today, we're here to discuss the secret classic WWE pay-per-view nobody ever really talks about. When looking across the history of WWE, the company's put on a ridiculous amount of pay-per-views, or, you know, premium live events, since the promotion's first ever pay-per-view back in 1985. Of course, that first pay-per-view would be the inaugural WrestleMania from Madison Square Garden. As of this writing, WWE has held nearly 500 pay-per-views and network specials. Some of these obviously stand out above others, and some are cemented in the annals of history as the greatest shows WWE has ever produced. WrestleMania 17, Royal Rumble 1992, SummerSlam 2002, In Your House 16, Canadian Stampede, Money in the Bank 2011, ECW One Night Stand 2005, Royal Rumble 2001, SummerSlam 92. These are just some of the pay-per-views often debated as being the greatest in WWE history. And while all of those are clearly fantastic, legendary pay-per-views, there is one other utter classic that often gets overlooked when discussing the greatest WWE events. Yes, we're talking about King of the Ring 1993. For over 20 years now, wrestling fans have been clamoring for WWE to reintroduce the King of the Ring as a premium live event. While the 2002 edition of King of the Ring was the last time this tournament was the focus of a pay-per-view, it's 1993 that's the absolute best of the 10 King of the Ring pay-per-views we've so far seen, emanating from Dayton, Ohio's Nutter Center on the 13th of June 93. So recently celebrated a 30-year anniversary. That King of the Ring tournament had opening round brackets of Bret Hart versus Razor Ramon, Mr. Hughes versus Mr. Perfect, Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Bam Bam Bigelow, and Tatanka versus Lex Luger. Elsewhere, the event was nicely fleshed out by an 8-man tag team contest pitting the Steiner Brothers and Smoking Guns against Money Inc. and the Headshrinkers. Shawn Michaels defended the Intercontinental Championship against Crush, and Yokozuna had his rematch against Hulk Hogan for the WWF title. But how did we get here in the first place? 1993 was the first year WWE ran the King of the Ring tournament as a pay-per-view. But that's not to say that the company hadn't run King of the Ring tournaments before. In fact, 1993 wasn't even the first time Bret Hart had been crowned King of the Ring. The then World Wrestling Federation first did a King of the Ring tournament back in 1985, with the event being non-televised and devised to serve as an attraction for the company's house show business. Two-time Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco emerged victorious in that first tournament, and this competition would run annually through until 1989 and return as a one-off in 1991, all while sticking to the non-televised model. By the time in 1993, a large reason for bringing King of the Ring back and turning it into its own pay-per-view, that was down to Bret Hart. At that point in time, the Hitman had been positioned as the top babyface of the promotion after he defeated Ric Flair to become WWF champion in October 1992. Presented as a fighting champion, Bret was the future of the WWF and was clearly the poster boy to lead the post-Hulkamania era of the company. An era, of course, that would become the new generation. So, when Bret lost the WWF title to Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9, who then bafflingly dropped it to Hulk Hogan in an impromptu match that still, to this day, WWF was eager to still present Bret Hart as the guy, but also found itself with Hulk Hogan now back on top. As such, the King of the Ring was, for lack of a better term, a consolation prize of sorts for the excellence of execution. And if you watch the pay-per-view back, it's extremely noticeable how the commentary team constantly stress how winning the King of the Ring is just as big as being WWF champion. And in that regard, the 1993 King of the Ring is the greatest tournament WWE has ever put together. Yes, it is. It really, really is. From the moment the tournament was announced to the moment Bret Hart donned the winner's crown, WWE got so much right with this. Everything about the King of the Ring felt like a big deal, and well, it just all made sense. Even before the pay-per-view itself, the King of the Ring was treated as this big prestigious honor, as reflected by the many names who didn't even manage to qualify for the tournament. On that regard, in terms of TV qualifiers, you saw there were so many significant players who came up short just to try and qualify for the King of the Ring. You had two-time world champion Bob Backlund. You had the Giant Gonzalez, who just manhandled The Undertaker Undertaker. He had one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time in Tito Santana. He had the monster heel and former world title challenger Kamala. He had the powerhouse former tag team champion Typhoon. A Papa Shango who had spent the year prior feuding with the Ultimate Warrior. Matt Bourne's devilish Doink the Clown, who it took Mr. Perfect 3 matches to finally beat to qualify himself. And you had Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels and Crush go to a double countout in their attempts to qualify. This was feeling like a big deal. And for the pay-per-view element of the tournament, the field of Bret Hart, Razor Ramon, Mr. Hughes, Mr. Perfect, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, Bam Bam Bigelow, Lex Luger, and Tatanka was a brilliant mix of easily identifiable baby faces and heels. And Bret Hart, he gave a masterpiece in selling across the 3 tournament matches that he had, with the Hitman being wore down with each passing match, making sure to basically to sell the damage absorbed in those matches. A little bit like Orange Cassidy's doing these days for AEW, or has been doing for AEW with the International title, my bad, in how Orange has been worn down week after week, month after month, fight after fight. And while it would have been great to have Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect in the King of the Ring final, the better story, frankly, and the better creative was to position Bret as the battered underdog going up against the fresher, stronger, vicious Bam Bam Bigelow in that final. With the Beast from the East, he'd received a bye in the semi-finals after decimating lovable veteran Hacksaw in the first round. And then there's Mr. Perfect. This was a Kurt Hennig who was barely 6 months into his first ever WWF babyface run. And he was absolutely sensational in showing the fighting spirit to face the dominant Mr. Hughes head on, in addition to putting on a banger, obviously, with Bret Hart later on in the night. And likewise, Razor Ramon was fantastic as the cocksure larger heel who Bret just about outsmarted in the opening round. Elsewhere, the WWF kept both Tatanka and Lex Luger's undefeated streaks alive thanks to a time limit draw, and Luger nicely kept some of his heat with a post-match beatdown on the Native American. All in all, not a match was wasted, not a match felt illogical, and the King of the Ring tournament as a whole flowed in just a really entertaining way.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And it wasn't just the tournament that was great, though. For the pay-per-view itself, it helped to re-establish Yokozuna as a monster. Yes, and that was, trust me, that was very much needed at this point in time. You had the initial ascension of Yokozuna. That's one of the most impressive pushes in WWE history. Arriving on TV in October 92, Mr. Fuji's new heel charge was immediately presented as a serious threat, and he'd end up winning the 1993 Royal Rumble. From there, Yoko went on to defeat Bret Hart at WrestleMania 9 to become the WWF champion. And then Hulk Hogan happened. Bafflingly, Yokozuna's WWF title reign, it lasted just a matter of minutes, and he'd lose that belt in an impromptu, 9-second match to Hogan? And with that, so much of the work that had gone into establishing Yokozuna as a genuine monster, that was undone, with him now just one of the numerous unstoppable villains that Hulk Hogan had miraculously overcome over the years. It's the patented formula of Hulkamania, brother. Thankfully, the King of the Ring, though, 93, that rematched Yoko and Hogan, and this time it was Yokozuna who got the win, and he embarked on a second reign as WWF champion, and that would be a reign that lasted for 280 days, and it saw Yokozuna just brutalize a bunch of top stars before he eventually dropped the title to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10. And for the Hitman, King of the Ring 93 saw him put on the greatest single night performance in WWE history. Of course, for anyone remotely familiar with myself, you'll be totally unsurprised to see a whole lot of love for Bret Hart here. If there are any concerns over how Bret Hart would be used after he dropped the title to Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9, those concerns were eased at day Satan's not a center. Across the King of the Ring 93 tournament, the Excellence of Execution, he wrestled three vastly different matches against three vastly different opponents. Razor Ramon, Mr. Perfect, and Bam Bam Bigelow. And to position Bret even more as this scrappy underdog, kayfabe, he had his fingers damaged in the opening round against Razor. And because of that, Bret Hart lost his most trusted weapon, the sharpshooter. With his injured fingers preventing Bret from being able to lock on that patented submission, that meant Hart had to find other ways to win. And boy, did he ever do that. Against Razor Ramon, Bret reversed the top rope back suplex into a crossbody pinning combination. Against Perfect, Bret reversed the small package into an inside cradle. And against Bam Bam, Bret put the Beast of the East away with a victory roll. It wasn't just the inventiveness of his victories that made Bret Hart's King of the Ring performance stand out, though. But even more important was how Bret beautifully expressed the damage done to him through his body language, his facial expressions, and through his in-ring work. Bret Hart, man, truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And for this King of the Ring pay-per-view, it served not just to push Bret Hart and Yokozuna, it served somewhat of a changing of the guard of the World Wrestling Federation at that time. You see, King of the Ring 93 represented Hulk Hogan's last WWE pay-per-view appearance for 9 years. That would be until he rocked up as part of the NWO at No Way Out in 2002. While the steroid scandal led Vince McMahon to take a punt on Bret Hart as WWF champion in October 92, the company, it still had the shadow of Hulk Hogan looming large as they stumbled out of the golden era. At King of the Ring 93, this pay-per-view gave an indication of what was to eventually become the new generation. Hogan dropped his WWF title to Yokozuna in the middle of the card, while Bret Hart's win over Bam Bam Bigelow served as the show's main event and headline attraction. Likewise, the King of the Ring will mark the final appearance of Money Inc. as a team, with the veteran heel Ted DiBiase departing the company just 2 months later. And as for the other Golden Era star on the card, Jim Duggan was perfect as the seasoned hero who was just there to get dominated in a matter of minutes by the villainous Bam Bam Bigelow. When reflecting back on the landscape of just 1 year prior, King of the Ring 93 just felt fresh, new, and exciting. Bret Hart was a new poster boy. Shawn Michaels was the bumping workhorse Intercontinental Champion with his eyes on the main event scene. Mr. Perfect was embracing his new babyface role. Razor Ramon and Bam Bam Bigelow were established as fantastic heels. Lex Luger and Tatanka were protected stars on the rise. The Steiner Brothers, Smoking Guns, and Head Shrinkers brought fresh faces to the tag team ranks. And Mr. Fuji's Yokozuna, and him, WWF had the ideal final boss to swat away the promotion's babyface challenges. WWF wasn't referring to the new generation by this point in time, but that era was just around the corner. And of course, you can't talk about King of the Ring 1993 without making mention of one of the most, no pun intended, perfect showcases of professional wrestling ever seen. Yes, that would be Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. For the longest time, the Intercontinental Championship was famously known as the workhorse title of WWE. And on that front, there were no finer workhorses than Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart. So when the two clashed for Perfect's IC title at SummerSlam 91, they put on an all-time classic, with the Hitman emerging victorious on that night to secure his first slice of singles gold. While that match is forever praised by the masses, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect at King of the Ring 93 is a contest that it goes, I guess, a little bit under the radar. In reality, though, this, I would say, is a superior match to that excellent SummerSlam contest. SummerSlam is fantastic. It's phenomenal. King of the Ring is just a little bit better. The King of the Ring match is one of those where if someone asks you to define what professional wrestling is all about, you'd show them Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from 1993. From the pre-match backstage promo to the post-match pat on the back from Perfect to Bret, this all holds up to this very day as exemplary. In terms of that promo, a my dad's harder than your dad back and forth escalates to the point where Kurt Hennig, well, he promises Bret that he still owes him for SummerSlam, which was a lovely little touch. And when these two technical wizards do get to the ring, it's a magical babyface versus babyface battle, with Perfect occasionally leaning on his old heel ways, a little bit like how Roddy Piper brilliantly did against Bret at WrestleMania 8 the year prior. Most prevalent in this match is the sheer desperation to win. It's etched on like on Perfect's face, Bret's face, as they exchange holds, they lay in snug strikes, and they try a wide variety of pinning combinations. A victory in this match felt like a huge deal to both Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart, with Bam Bam Bigelow awaiting the winner in the tournament final, of course. And with a win feeling so monumental to a former world champion in Bret Hart and an iconic former IC champion in Mr. Perfect, by default, that made the King of the Ring itself just feel like a huge deal to fans. It would be remiss to talk about Bret Hart versus Kurt Hennig and not talk about the exquisite psychology on display. In particular, Perfect works over Bret's fingers in this brilliant callback to Razor Ramon and stamped on them in the first round match. And by the time Bret Hart counts as a small package into an inside cradle for the 1-2-3, you know you've witnessed something special. Throwing Mr. Perfect maintaining this fighting babyface spirit with a handshake, a pat on the back, and now go and win this thing sort of enthusiasm. And this is a prime example of why professional wrestling is such a beautiful, emotion-stirring sport. So, taking all this into account, King of the Ring 1993, it should absolutely be held up there on a pedestal as one of the all-time best WWE pay-per-views. Or maybe that's my Bret Hart bias showing. ring. I've been Andrew Parr from What Culture Wrestling, and I'll catch you down the road.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.